Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
I want to invite you to take out, there is an outline. Someone asked me a couple yesterday, he said, Dave, you going to have an outline this Sunday? And I said, yep. So take out your outline this morning. And as I said last Sunday, this is another opportunity to give you guys some parting thoughts. And it's just a great privilege to be able to do this together. And before I go too far, though, I just want to honor my son, Jabin and Andrea, and our grandkids that are with us this morning. And just wave, okay? He's the guy that's got the same hairstyle as me. And Jabin and Andrea were on staff with us for a number of years. And it was a very special time in our lives. And God has allowed us to share that common journey together. And they just said, Dad, we want to be with you on the last Sunday. And so I honor you guys. And I think, aren't you glad for family? And so, yeah, my little grandson, Jacob, I see him up there, and he's a good buddy. We spent a lot of time together. We're going out for dinner tonight, all of us, and it's going to be fun. And a bunch of my kids are coming home for the party on the 9th, and it's going to be a great time together. But this morning, the title of my message today is Embracing the Future. And we're going to end with communion. There's no better future than to know Jesus. And I want to begin with the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, no eye has seen. Let me say that again. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. As I said, and I've been sharing this a lot lately, there's been a lot of thoughts and emotions going through my heart these last few weeks. My wife and I as well. And my big question today and these last couple of Sundays has been, what do I say? What do I say on these last couple of weeks? And last week we spent a lot of time focusing on honor and honoring the past and honoring people who've been part of our lives right from day one when you first called us, when I came and preached the call. It's not a term we're used to very often, but I don't even know if I realized what I was doing then, but I guess it worked. But anyway, so we took some time last Sunday to honor people who have been part of our journey from day one here at Comox Pentecostal Church. And so, but I'm asking this question, what do I say? The bigger question is, God, what do you want to say? What's the message you have for CPC? It's funny, my son, another one of my sons, Jeremy, who is, him and his family serve over in Whistler, and they've been there for a number of years. And one of the things that he has become known as in Whistler is the Whistler Wedding Pastor. He actually has a website called Whistler Wedding Pastor. They get people from all over the world coming and doing destination weddings, and he gets called all the time to do weddings. And so he sent me a text this week. He said, Dad, let me give you a little tip on what you could preach on. I'll give you my wedding template, and you can use that to craft your sermon for your final sermon. I thought, okay, that's interesting. So here's what it was. He said, this is his wedding template when he's getting couples to get ready for their wedding. The first point is, I remember. The second point, he says, is, I love you. And the third one is, I promise. And then he says, and they will all cry. And And so that's what he sent me. And so I was actually thinking about it. I thought, you know, that's not such a bad one, you know, like, and right now we have a lot of things in our heart that we remember. And we would be here all day trying to, going through all the memories and so on. And the truth is, we do love you. And Barb and I have loved you from day one. We've loved you through thick and thin. We've loved you in the good times and in the hard times. We've loved you even in times of conflict. We've loved you even in times when there's been disagreement, when there's been wounds, where there's been hurts. We've still loved you, and God's given us that capacity to do that. And I just want to say, as we move out of this setting, that there is no ill will to one person in this church. And our hearts are full of love for you. And then the third one was, I promise. Well, here's the promise that I felt God wanted me to say right before we get into the sermon. But the promise is the promise of Jesus. When Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I thought that's an awesome thing. And so while we have many memories and we love you, God has a great promise for you. God has a great future for you. And I promise that. And now you can all cry, all right? So there you go. You can all cry. You know what it's like at the wedding? The bride, they're all crying. You know, even the groom sometimes cries. It's pretty cruel. Cool, not cruel. And so I realize that today there may be some of you that are just joining us for the first time, and we have guests and newcomers every Sunday, which God has put in. I'm always drawn to the fact that God keeps bringing folks along, and we've been able to journey with, and all of you, most of you were new at one point along the way. But it was 10 months ago, just to give you a little background, it was Sunday, July the 23rd, that I shared a message with this congregation where we focused on making way for change. And in that message, I shared how that, it would be 3 years ago now, that my summer reading included a book called Next. And the big idea of that book was the fact that every church, every lead pastor at some time or another is going to face transition. There will be a next. And I was really kind of gripped by that reality. And one of the things in the book said, basically when it comes right down to it, that no matter who the pastor is at any given time, we are just interim pastors. And the reality is a next will eventually happen. And in the book it described all kinds of ways that the next can happen. Sometimes the next happens unexpectedly. Sometimes the next happens through something that maybe goes horribly wrong. Or maybe there's been an accident or something happens where the pastor is taken from you. And all of a sudden there's a next. And the church is faced with that reality of a next. And all of those things were going through my mind even 3 years ago. And I thought, I need to actually even then begin to prepare for that, the inevitable reality that there will be a next will happen. One of the things the book talked about was how that the best kind of next can happen when it's done in a healthy way, when there can be healthy transition, when it maybe even can be planned and not, you know, sometimes the next happens where there's a planned succession. That's not so much in our case. But the reality is that the last 10 months, you've given us the permission to be your interim pastor to help prepare you for the next. And I want to say it's been an incredible honor. Not very many pastors get this privilege that we've had these last 10 months. And our heart has never been to try to hold on to something that we've had. Our heart has been to help you prepare for the next. And so these last 10 months, that's been a big part of our hearts. And so while the day I was actually, you chose us 20 years ago to be your pastor, in reality, I was the interim pastor even then. But just the last 10 months, you actually gave me that title. And so, so Barb and I, it's been an incredible privilege to have had this honor to serve you in this season of leading you through these last number of months. One of my goals, and I remember sharing it 10 months ago, one of my goals in this season has been to call out the greatness in you. And there is just so much potential in the people of Comox Pentecostal Church, and part of my heart has been beating these last 10 months to help call that greatness out of you. And it's been awesome to be able to see so many of you step up to that challenge and say yes to that call and be willing to allow God to take you farther than you've ever been before. And I've been thinking about how this last year, we've just seen an acceleration in our life groups, in our small groups. And you met Kelly and Josiah with us this morning, and it was exciting to think that it was less than 2 years ago that they were part of our newcomers group. And at the end of it all, it was sort of like, now what? And so we helped them actually birth a small group in their home, and they started bringing in some of our college students and young adults and different ones. And they began, all of a sudden they're saying, Dave, we're running out of room. And before you knew it, they have up to 20 students, or not just students, but adults coming. And I just learned this week that they are actually training 4 more leaders so that they can multiply and allow their group to expand so that they can actually have 2 groups forming out of it. And I think it's absolutely amazing that the greatness is being called out of them. And that's what's going to serve our church well going forward. They told me how that they have this devised plan because they all like each other, but they want to have a way so that they can still get together for common series or common things, maybe even use our hall. There's ways that you can allow things to become even greater. And I just want to celebrate that this morning. And so whether it's youth ministry, we've got new volunteers serving in those capacities, serving teams. There's just so many things where you guys have been stepping up, and you need to continue to do that. And I want to say Barb and I are extremely proud of you. You guys, a lot of you are like our kids. And some of you, we've just been able to journey with you in almost like in a father-son, father-daughter, mother-daughter relationship, and we've been able to see you grow and go forward. I love the words of Paul when he said in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, he's speaking of the church, and he said, I have great confidence in you, and I take great pride in you, and I am greatly encouraged. And he says, even in our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. And those words of Paul just kind of resonate with me. You know what, Barb and I are extremely proud of you. We are extremely proud of the people that you are and what God is doing in your life. And while we've gone through a lot of stuff together, we've gone through life stuff together, some painful, some hard. I've buried some of your loved ones. I've married you. I've dedicated your kids. All kinds of things we've done together. In the midst of it all, we just totally believe that, you know, really what makes for a great church and great pastor is great people. And that's, you know, it's great people this morning that we are proud of and we are thankful to God for. The reality is that it doesn't matter who you bring in. It doesn't matter who you choose to be your next lead pastor. It's going to take you being great people that's going to actually help that person to flourish. And the other reality is this morning is the fact that great churches are a result of people who allow Jesus to be the centerpiece of his church. This is his church. It's not my church. It's not Pastor Chad's church. It's not Calvin's church. It's his church. And you must always continue to allow Jesus to be the centerpiece of his church. Would you agree with that this morning? Jesus needs to be the centerpiece. It's his church. And so the question in all of this is, now what? We're talking about embracing the future. And going back to the scripture that I read at the beginning, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. And I was really drawn to that scripture this week and thinking, you know, we all have this kind of idea of what we think the future should look like. You know, you already have the idea of what you think the perfect pastor should be like. And you have in your mind what it should be. And the reality is that the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even conceived what God. Is it possible that God might have something completely planned that is different than what you had imagined? Is that possible? The reality is so. That We can't even begin to comprehend what God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you love God this morning? Do you love Jesus? God has something amazing for you today. And we need to be open to that. But let me just share with you some things that I think need to be considered as you embrace the future. As you ask the question, what is God preparing that needs to be embraced? And let me just say, you can embrace what God is doing reluctantly, or you can embrace what God is doing willingly. You've got a choice. And my suggestion to you this morning is that you would embrace what God is doing willingly. And so here's the first thing that I think needs to be paid attention to. Number one, you need to embrace what God is doing in you. What God is doing in you. You want to know something? When it comes to the future, we can talk all we want about the people that we might want to come to be our pastor or whatever, or this or that. But here's the thing. Here's what, while there's going to be all kinds of changes going forward in your life, the one thing that is guaranteed will be part of your future is what? You. And if there's, you know what? The reality is, we need to be willing to allow God to do His work in you. The future, the one thing that you can be absolutely assured of going into your future is you. And so that's why we need to be willing to allow God to do His work in our lives. We've been talking a lot about transition these last few months, and one of the words that God gave to us back last summer was this, and we've shared it a number of times, is that transition is not happening to us, it's happening through us and for us. In other words, God is wanting to do something amazing in your life. God is doing amazing things in your life, in my life, in the person's life beside you that needs to be embraced. My encouragement to you this morning is embrace what God is doing in your life. I love Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, where he says, "He," and this is again a promise, he says, "and he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God is, there's an amazing work that God is doing in your life. And my encouragement to you, every one of you, is to embrace it. And it might be uncomfortable. There might be things where God is even in this time of transition, where you've maybe felt anxious or uncomfortable or awkward or whatever it is, where the Holy Spirit is chipping away at some area of your life that He wants to change, He wants to transform. My encouragement to you this morning is, embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace what God is doing in your life. Allow God to continue to change you, to transform you, to heal you. Some of you are still carrying wounds and hurts from something way back when. Allow God to continue to heal those areas of your life. Allow God to shape your heart in such a way that His ultimate plan and purposes can be fulfilled. That's my encouragement to you this morning as you go through this season. And that you don't just sit around waiting for the new pastor to come. And, you know, let God continue to do His work in your life. My encouragement also is that you would give your new pastor, whoever God has chosen, the gift of a new you. The gift of a transformed you. The gift of a more Christ-like you. Between now and then, and not only for your new pastor, but for... You know what? Wouldn't it be awesome if you could give your husband or your wife a new you? You see, God wants to shape you. God wants to change you. God wants to transform you. And my encouragement to you is give the gift of your new pastor. Give the gift of those in your life a more committed you, a kinder you, a more generous you, a more fruitful you. Because Jesus said that we would bear much fruit. If we would remain in Him, we would bear fruit. We would be fruitful. And so embrace. That's the first thing. Very simple. It's a simple message. Embrace what God is doing in you. How many are thankful and would say, Pastor Dave, I know God is at work in my life. and I'm willing to embrace that. Let me just see your hand this morning. Let me encourage you to continue to do that. Embrace what God is doing in you. The second thing I'd like to say is, and I believe this is something that God is preparing, and it's to be willing to embrace a new wineskin. I believe, you know, we're talking about what God has prepared for those who love Him. We're talking about what God has prepared for Comox Pentecostal Church. Jesus said, He said, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If they do, this is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17, if they do, the skins will burst, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, He said, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Basically, Jesus, when He's saying these words, He's saying it's crazy. It's a crazy idea to think that you can take new wine and pour it into an old wineskin. He said, it's just going to end up being a disaster, and it's not going to be good. And I was thinking about how we've had the privilege of being able to bring Comox Pentecostal Church to this season of marking 50 years as a church. And 2018, 2017 was a time, as even as we were kind of going through the history of CPC, that we realized that this was a 50-year mark where we are celebrating 50 years. And we're marking 50 years. And I was thinking about it again this week about new wineskins, that in the last 50 years, CPC has experienced a number of new wineskins through the years. This church has gone through seasons of transition before. This church has gone through seasons of new beginnings, and where God has allowed for new things to rise up and basically new wineskins to be put on so that the wine could be carried properly. This church is not the same as it was 50 years ago. The reality is, during that time, there's been multiple changes that have gone along the way. But here's the point I want to say, that while there's new wine and there's new wineskins, and there's, you know, it's subtle at times. You don't always see it happening. What's the one thing that remains the same, and I think it's really important that we understand this, the one thing that remains the same about the new wine is the ingredients of the new wine. And so let me just kind of, again, go back to that picture of Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he said, if we will remain in Him, what gets produced on the branches? What? Fruit. And what do they use the fruit for? To make new wine. And so the same DNA is in the new wine. And the DNA that's in the new wine is what? Jesus. Right? Are you with me? It's not different wine, it's just new wine. And so it's important that the church, that this church understands that while you're going to, at some point, take on new wineskins, it's the wine, the ingredients of the wine, the DNA of the wine remains the same. And some of that DNA is that Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the way, the truth, and the life. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has not changed. And while the church maybe takes on new looks and new wineskins, the reality is Jesus is still the same. Other things that remain the same is our love for God, our love for His Word. It's the Word of God that He also talks about, remain in me and let my words remain in you. And folks, as you allow the Word of God and Jesus, the Son of God, to remain within you, you are going to be fruitful with new wine. Other values that remain the same is the love for the presence of the Holy Spirit. How many are thankful that we can embrace the Holy Spirit in the new wine? And the Holy Spirit is involved in making the new wine. And that's something that I'm inviting you and encouraging you to embrace this morning. And so as we talk about embracing the future, God right now is in the process of preparing new wineskins in order to experience the new wine that he has for you. And so, I leave that with you. The third thing is, and I want to, for the sake of time, I want to move along quickly here. And this is just very practical. And it's this. And it's to, as you embrace the future, it is to embrace your new lead pastor that God is preparing for you and has been preparing for you. And last summer, when I shared this message about making way for change, we believed and we shared it then that we just sensed that the time had come that we were getting ready to pass the baton to a new lead pastor. We didn't know who that person was. But you know what? Back then, God knew who that person was. God knew. God knew that for such a time as this, that God was preparing, he was preparing a new leader, a new shepherd, one who would come to lead you, one that he has chosen. And so, long before today and over these last 10 months, we have been praying diligently. Our search committee have been praying and seeking God, and we've had various prayer gatherings throughout this last number of months. And again, we didn't say it earlier, but we are calling for a prayer day on this coming Wednesday for a day of prayer. We've got three gatherings that we're going to just invite you to come to throughout the day, 7 o'clock, noon, and 7 o'clock in the evening. The church is going to be open. And we're just inviting people to come and pray. If you want to come in between those times, you're welcome to do that. But we need to pray. We need to hear God's voice together because we believe that God is preparing the one he has chosen for you. And we just need to know it in our hearts. You need to know it in your heart so that you can affirm that. But here's the thing I want to say about your new pastor. And again, I just actually found out who Pastor Chad was just on Saturday. And so this sermon was already percolating in my heart before then. But here's what I believe about your new pastor, the one that God has chosen for you, is that they will come with a fresh heart and a fresh passion. They will come with a fresh call of God. That's why they call it preaching the call. It's a way to discern whether this person has that call of God to Comox Pentecostal Church. This is not about hiring someone to do your job. This is someone who you are discerning whether or not they have been called of God to come and lead this congregation. Because if you hire someone, you can fire them. And that's not how we do it around here. You are discerning that call of God, and they are discerning that call of God. I'll tell you, over the years, there's been numerous times where the only thing that kept me in the game, not just here, but other places where we've served, the only thing that kept me going in those tough spots was you had to know that you were called. But this person whom God has chosen will come with a fresh call of God that will burn in his heart for you and our valley. They will come with fresh eyes and fresh vision for Comox Pentecostal Church. They will come with a set of new lenses and fresh perspective. They will see things that maybe we aren't seeing right now. They will have that sense of new eyes to see what God might have us do together going forward. You know, talking about fresh eyes, interesting that when I came 20 years ago, I had 20/20 vision. And, you know, at about 10 years ago, maybe even before, I was having a hard time reading my sermon notes. And I thought, there's something wrong here, and I had to kind of back up. And you know what I'm talking about, any of you that are over 50. And so the next thing you know, I went to the optometrist and I got these little readers, and I, for the first while, I would wear them like this, and you know, and it looked really goofy. Anyway, but that's how it started. You see, my lenses, my eyes were changing, and then this last few months, I've noticed that And I've had numerous glasses since to help me with my eyes. And it was a couple of months ago, I was noticing that things were getting a little fuzzy out there. And so, not out there, but out there. And so I went to my optometrist and I told him what was going on. He said, "Oh, Dave," he said, "I know what the problem is. It's not your lenses that are the problem." He says, "You've got two little cataracts that are forming on your eyes." And I looked at him, I said, "What?" I said, "That's for old people." And because that's the only reflection or the only understanding I had ever had of cataracts. And he said, "No," he said, "lots of guys when they get into their 60s start to form these little guys." And he says, "I can't help them with glasses because you've got this little bit of a glaze starting to form." And so if you see me kind of out there, you'll know why. But here's the deal. Sometimes, you know, even as people within a congregation, we've been around a long time. Some of you have been around here a long time. It's easy to start to have a little bit of a glaze over our eyes. And we can't always see things maybe the way we once saw them. We don't even see our valley because it's so familiar. There's an amazing gift about fresh eyes coming into a setting. Even newcomers, oftentimes a newcomer, I'll often say to them, "What did you sense? What did you see? Is there something that we could learn from your experience with us?" Because they come in with fresh eyes. And my encouragement to you this morning is that you would embrace the fresh eyes and the fresh vision and the fresh dreams and the fresh faith that comes in their heart of your new lead pastor. Because I don't believe God's coming. I don't believe a new person's coming just to maintain the status quo, not to just kind of, you know, park his vehicle in Pastor Dave's stall. You know, he's coming to stir it up. He's coming to take you further. He's coming to plant new dreams and fresh vision in your heart. I really believe that. And so your new pastor will come with fresh boldness and courage to take new risks again. In our early days, I think we took some of our biggest risks in the first 5 years that we were here. My encouragement, you know, sometimes after a while you start to play it a bit safe. I think there's been times in my life in the last few years where I've played it too safe. And my encouragement to you is allow your new pastor, whoever it is that God has chosen, to take you farther, to be bold again, to be courageous, to have a fresh voice that will inspire you and provoke you to greater love and good works. I think I'm going to come to that church. Anyway, my encouragement to you is embrace your new pastor. Embrace the one whom God has chosen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, speaking of the church, he said, I would ask that you would make room in your hearts for us. And so as I read that this week, I thought, my encouragement to you, my challenge to you as you embrace the future is that you would make room in your hearts for the one God has chosen for you. And they may be different than what you had pictured. They may be different than what you had conceived in your mind. But my heart, if God has chosen and the Holy Spirit makes it clear and reveals it, my invitation to you, my encouragement to you, is make room in your heart for that new person. And we're going to close. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. But let me just say that in the meantime, between now and then, as we said last Sunday, cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. Cling to your love for one another. Cling to honoring one another. Keep clinging to that. We looked at Romans 12 last Sunday. Cling to being faithful in prayer. Cling to it. These are things that, this is all part of the DNA of the new wine. I can't imagine the new wine without love for God and love for one another. The new wine is going to be filled with that. Cling to patience. Cling to being in unity with one another. cling to those things. Those things are precious that you can't let go of. And this morning, I want to say that the future is bright for you, and the future is bright for Comox Pentecostal Church. As you embrace what God is doing in you, it's a good thing. Allow Him to do it. Don't resist it. Don't fight the work of God. Embrace the new wineskins that God is preparing. And again, you may not even notice how it's happening, but it will happen. And embrace the one that God has chosen for you. And the other thing I want to just say as we close is, as we move into communion, embrace Jesus like you've never done before. There may be some of you this morning that have never given your life over to Jesus Christ. You know what? There is no future worth living unless you have Jesus. And on this last Sunday, my final Sunday, we've done this many times over the years, where we've invited people to give their lives to Jesus Christ. I want to say this morning, I want to invite you, if you're here and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, today can be your day that your future can begin brand new by opening your life, opening your heart and saying, Jesus, I give my life to you. And I want to encourage you to do that today. There is no better future than having Jesus at the center of your life. And so I invite you to do that this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand as we're going to sing together this song called Cornerstone. And I hope you forgive me for we're going a little over time this morning, but like I said a few weeks ago, what are you going to do? The future is bright because ultimately Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives and of our church. And never move off that cornerstone, but allow Him to have His way completely in your life. What we're going to do in a couple of moments is we're going to, my wife and I, and this is going to take a few minutes, all right, so bear with us. We're going to invite you to come down, and we're going to stand here and serve you communion. So you guys, can I just invite you to, let's do it this way. I'm going to invite the balcony dwellers to come first. All right? They're going to come first while we just sing this song. And then we'll bring you guys forward, okay? You take the communion emblems back and you just receive them with your friends. And we're going to just, right now, we're going to thank God for these emblems of Christ's broken body and His shed blood. We thank You for the union that we have together. And as Barb and I serve You, we pray Your blessing to be upon each and every one here this morning. And we thank You that we've had this 20 years together. And together, because of Jesus, we embrace the future together. We embrace all that You have for us, knowing that Jesus, You do all things well, and what You have prepared is good. And we thank You now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.